Hey everybody, it's Melissa, and I'm going to talk today on our podcast, The Tapestry of Your Life, about the story of Joseph a little bit. So, and Joseph in the Old Testament, that starts in Genesis 37, not Joseph, Mary's husband, okay? So, and I have forgotten how long, like, the story of Joseph really was. It is several chapters in the Bible, and it's such a good story. So we're going to start off reading a little bit in Genesis 37. You can read the whole story. I'm going to skip around a little bit so you get the gist of the story. But basically, Joseph was 17 years old. He was shepherding the flock with his brothers, and he brought to his father a bad report of them. And it says now Jacob, which is Israel, loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a distinctive long tunic with sleeves. So I read somewhere that most of them had tunics, but Joseph's was longer and went all the way down to his feet as opposed to other people. I think it came like right below their knees, and his had sleeves while other people's did not have sleeves. Now, I am not aware of the significance of that. It's something that I would like to research, but it was different, okay? And I believe it signified the fact that, one, at the minimum, he was definitely highly favored, right? Everybody knew that he was like his father's favorite because he was the firstborn son that Jacob had with Rachel, who was his true love, that he would say, okay? So when his brothers saw that their father loved Joseph more than all of the other brothers, they hated him and could not say peace to him or speak peaceably to him. So they couldn't even say hello to their own brother, and that's kind of a problem. But he said to them, you know, Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and then they hated him still even more. And this was a dream. Him and his brothers were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright, and behold, your sheaf stood round about my sheaf and bowed down. And his brother said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Are you going to have us as your subjects and dominate us? And they hated him all the more for his dreams and for what he said. But Joseph dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brothers again. And he said, see here, I have dreamed again. And behold, this time only 11 stars, the sun and the moon bowed down and did reverence to me. And he told it to his father, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is the meaning of this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers actually come to bow down ourselves to the earth and do homage to you? And so Joseph's brothers envied him and were jealous of him, but his father observed the saying and pondered over it. So I'm going to pause there for a moment because someone pointed out to me as I was reading, you know, comments about this passage that while it said that Joseph's family was going to bow down to him, they were still all part of his dream. Like, as a family, they could have all been in Egypt, all ruling together. Like, their legacy could have been as an entire family. But they didn't see it. Like, they didn't focus on the fact that they were all sheaves and all part of the dreams and all working together. They were just simply focused on the fact that they were bowing down to Joseph. The comment that I read also mentioned, like, that they were sheaves, which is signified wheat, and, like, that their family would have great harvest, right? Great harvest of souls in the earth, that they would, you know, be multiply and prosperity. And it's the same thing with the stars, right? With the heavens and the generations. Abraham would look up at the stars, and that represented his spiritual descendants. So they didn't see themselves, like, as part of the dream with him. They just focused on the one fact that they were bowing down to him. And so they kind of missed it at first. I mean, they definitely did. Now, later on, you know, because of the famine and Joseph's, like, purpose, one of the reasons he was in Egypt was to help save his family from harm, right? Because of the famine that hit basically the whole earth at that point. Like, there was no food for 7 years. Nothing. So it was a great, like, worldwide famine, and there was no trade. And because of the 7 prosperous years before, Egypt had everything stored up and ready to go. And Joseph was smart when he was actually passing out the food because he amassed great wealth for Egypt because, you know, he made people still pay for the food. He didn't give it away for free. And then eventually people would, like, you know, give their land, give their cattle, give their services, and come and, like, work for Egypt because they owed Egypt so much for the basic necessity of food. And so Joseph gave, it helped Egypt amassed, I think it was 97% of the world's wealth. It was at least 97%. But with that strategy, I'm wondering, like, his family eventually then came and, like, lived with him in Egypt, and eventually they left Egypt, you know, with the wilderness, and they got freed. And they were multiplying in Egypt, which is why the one Pharaoh got so scared that, oh, the Israelites are going to overtake us and overpower us. Well, I mean, that was kind of part of the dream with the multiplication and the wheat and the stars, that was designed to happen. So as a family, they should have all come together to, you know, move forward and advance the kingdom of God. Dr. Fiona Pishka has recently written a book called Building a House of Purpose Where Peace is Felt. Okay? And it's all about building your house, building your legacy, like your atmosphere around you. And Joseph was in a family where he was not really well appreciated, but he didn't let that stop him from, like, building a legacy, right? And so because of Joseph, his family line was saved. And I think that's so amazing and so important to recognize. So I encourage you to, like, participate in your family and encourage others. And when people have dreams or visions or goal, like, if you're part of it, look for, like, your part in their story. Sometimes you might have a distinct part to play. Other times maybe you're just, like, encouraging them. But either way, I would not be concerned about you, like, in Joseph's situation, as his brother or sister, I would not have been concerned that I was bowing down to him, because you would seek the Lord and ask for wisdom, and it would be awesome to be royalty. Like, I think that that's wonderful. If anybody in my family becomes royalty, I would be so excited, because that impacts me too and influences me for the better. So I also encourage you to ask questions too about what things mean and how things work, and, like, when people have dreams or vision, like, how you can participate, right? And participant, because the kingdom of God, we all want to participate in that and advance the kingdom. Dr. Jesse Duplantis often mentions that he believes the kingdom of God can be summed up in one word, and that is advance, right? Like, as Christians, we should be advancing forward, and we should be advancing the kingdom of God forward as well. We go from glory to glory, right? Our level should only increase. Our faith should constantly be increasing so that we have great faith, right? Like, we want to continuously be growing and be, like, prosperous and growing in wisdom. It even says in the Bible that Jesus grew in wisdom and knowledge and stature, right? Like, he grew in favor. Like, when he started when he was 12, that's when it, you know, starts off, that the first time he's mentioned, really. But he continued to grow in all of those things. And we can as well, too. Like, we do not want to be stagnant, because if you're stagnant, you are falling behind, because everybody else is going to keep moving forward. And you can think about that in a worldly sense, too. Like, the world continues to move forward and advance with certain things. Technology, with science, with, you know, all of the things that we learn now, even, like, being able to store things. And if you look at, like, the Romans and the Egyptians and the Mexicans and all of these things and all of these great accomplishments, like, they used to probably move a lot of things by hand. Now we have machines. And so society will move forward. And we need to be ahead of society. And that's where the power of God comes in, and supernatural ability. So I encourage you to read Dr. Fiona's book. And it's called, like I said, Building a House of Purpose Where Peace is Felt. And you can purchase it on Amazon and buy the book, or read it on Kindle. But one of the chapters that really stuck out to me was all about family legacy, right? Because that's what Joseph was building. He was building his family legacy. And so here's how everything works, right? Any area of God's kingdom and his operations on this earth that is not understood by you or your family is a subject the devil will use, right? So we want to, like, we don't want to break momentum, and we don't want to be uninformed, because if it's something that we don't understand, then the devil has the potential to use it against us. And that's something that we need to be aware of, right? God's people were destroyed for lack of knowledge. So we need to know, and we need to study God's law and study God's word, so that way we don't forget, and that we keep the vision before us. Because God's vision is prosperity. God's vision is wealth and triumph and victory and truth and love and all the fruits of the Spirit and generations to come. Like, that's how God thinks. So we want to think of that too. Okay. The other thing is that make your time on earth about legacy and not just about tomorrow. So at VCF, we talk a lot about inheritance. Inheritance has to deal with legacy, right? And passing things on to the next generation. That's inheritance and that's legacy. So it's not just thinking about the future and thinking about tomorrow. Joseph didn't just think about, oh, the next like year or so, right? No, he had a plan to store things up and thought for much longer than just like the next day. He had to instantly think about the moment he got that dream and interpreted what Pharaoh's dream meant with, you know, 7 years of plentiful, then 7 years of famine. He instantly had a strategy for the next 7 years and like storage, and that would help prepare them for the next 14 years of what was about to happen. And that's just like the minimum, right? And then he was basically running the entire country, and with the amount of wealth, it was basically running the whole world's wealth. And he thought about legacy, though, and the next thing that was always going to be coming. Like, when he had that dream when he was, like, 17 about the sun and the moon and the stars all bowing down to him and the sheaves of wheat bowing down to him, I believe that that changed his life and changed his focus. And he knew right then and there what he was kind of, like, headed for, and always kept that vision before him. Like, when he was in Potiphar's house, he did everything with excellence, and they recognized that the presence of the Lord was with him, and they put him in charge because everything prospered. Everything that he touched in just his very presence, things prospered. And the same thing happened in the prison too. After Pharaoh's wife like accused him and he was wrongly accused, he ended up in prison, but he didn't complain or anything like that. Like, his mentality, he knew that he was eventually going to be raised up to a position where people would be bowing down to him. And obviously that's not going to happen in prison. And it wasn't going to happen in Potiphar's house either. But I believe that he kept that vision before him. So we want to think about legacy. And Joseph, when he prophesied at the end of his life, he prophesied that when they left Egypt, to take his bones with him. Like, he was thinking so far beyond his current life that he thought about, for when he was dead and gone, what he wanted to happen and the future of his generations and his children and his whole family. Because he recognized that he was in covenant with God. I mean, his father was Jacob in Israel. His grandpa was Isaac, and his great-grandpa was Abraham. And I'm sure everybody was still around because they all lived really long. So he understood the covenant and the family line and the promise that was upon him. So I encourage you to think about, like, what are things that you can start that are going to affect the generations that come after you? Like, is there a business that you can start? Is there lessons that you can teach? Like, what's your audience of influence? Like, ask God what's been put inside of you that can be brought out and developed, that is a gift to the world that continues to bless people for generations to come, right? Sometimes it's all about helping people. Like, your legacy can be tied to helping someone else, so you can't just, like, sit around and wait. Like, that's not helpful. So if your purpose is dealing with people and helping people, and that's part of your legacy and your business is helping people, then you don't want to like put that on pause, right? There is no fear. God's perfect love casts out all fear, and you have the ability to do everything that God has put inside of you. So Dr. Fiona mentioned in her book, one thing that just really stuck out to me that I'll share, and then I'll wrap up the podcast, was that we do not have plans and purposes outside of God's word because it's a waste of time. You know, Joseph didn't, like, waste time. Like, he had a plan, he had a purpose when he interpreted dreams, like, no matter where he was at, he wasn't, like, wasting time. He could have fooled around with Pharaoh's wife, but he didn't, right? Because that was not part of God's plan for him. And that would have been considered a waste of time. And it would have been dishonorable as well. Like, he would have dishonored his values and his God. And he was maybe the only Christian in a nation full of Egyptians. Like, his boss worshipped another god, and he was still promoted over his entire household. So, I encourage you to do the will of God and to carry out God's plans and purposes that he has for you. And if you're not sure what they are, just ask. But when you think about your plans, think about them for future generations like Joseph did. So, thank you everybody for listening. Have a wonderful rest of your day.